we have some delegation from Kandebu municipality, the mayor, and the official from Kandebu municipality. So I think I must welcome you, the honorable members and staff. But it is a norm that we must introduce ourselves before we start. I am Nolthando Qhekane, the chairperson of this committee. Chairperson of this committee, Land and Environmental Affairs. My home is in Eastern Cape. I am in the NCOP, deployed by the African National Congress. I've got also my lovable honourable members there. I'll start from you, Honourable Cooks.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mafemani Makubela from Limpopo, a member of this committee. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Chair. My name is Gauta Mokoro. I'm a member of this committee, Land and Environmental Affairs. And I must say our focus for now and the future will be the Eastern Cape. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable. I've got my my official, they must introduce themselves and stuff.
Good morning, everybody. Quibus Huister from the Research Department of Parliament.
Asgard Bauer, Committee Secretary. Thank you.
Deshni Pillay, Content Advisor.
Good morning. I'm Matilda Letago, the Executive Secretary to the Chairperson.
Good morning. Sitabisa Bauer, Support Staff.
Anyone from the parliamentary staff? Okay, yes.
Hello, my name is Mostam Hale, Media and Communication Support for the committee.
I think I must give the Honorable Mayor to introduce himself and the staff. Honorable Mayor.
Sorry. Good morning, everybody. I'm Maya Hana Makoba from Kamdebua Municipality. It consists of three towns, New Bethesda, Aberdeen, and Graaf-Reinet. And we are in the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Good morning. Ivor Barrington, Manager, Technical Services of the Kamdebua Municipality.
This is... yes, it's not your turn, but you must know you are in the house now.
thank you, Chair. My and the committee members are here. And, I pressed the wrong side.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, committee members and the other visitors from Kamdebo. My name is Maxwell Sekhenya. I'm the Director General of Water Affairs, based in Pretoria, born in the Eastern Cape. I've got a sizable team will come later, Chair, but since they are here, I'd rather do follow after you. They introduce themselves, who they are. We'll reintroduce as we make presentations later. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. My name is Tande Gambasa, and I'm DDG responsible for the provinces in the Department of Water.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Kosha Makanya, the Chief Director, Eastern Cape.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Lucas from Eastern Cape Water Affairs, Water Regulation and Use. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Asanda Gidana, Program Manager for RBIC in the Forestal Park Infrastructure Program in the Eastern Cape Region.
Morning, Chair. My name is Zandile Makhe. I'm acting Deputy Director General Infrastructure in the Department.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Rex Mtilenis. I'm the director responsible for water sector support in Limpopo.
Morning, Chair. I'm Errol Makova, parliamentary officer in the ministry.
Morning. I'm Faisal Ismail, acting CFO, water affairs, trading account.
Morning, Chair. My name is Boim Kalipi. I'm in the minister's office.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Maria Tswa, and we're responsible for water services regulation at the national office.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have got some apologies, honorable members. Honorable Depie, Honorable Makadla, Honorable Zuru, and Honorable Kunda. Honorable Mabe and Honorable West are going to join us later. They are coming, but their flights have been delayed, so they are coming. So I think we must start our meeting. We are going to start our meeting with the Kande Buyo Municipality. You will remember, honorable members, that we have received some presentation, but we said that just because we can't ask any questions from the officials, we need to have a political head to ask some questions from him or her. So that's why the mayor is here today. We said that we will arrange another date for them. So they are here today. I must again take this opportunity to welcome you, Mayor, in this committee. This committee is Committee of Land and Environmental Affairs. So we have once one called by the committee, they thought that we wanted to police the immunity. No, we're not the policemen. We just wanted to see the processes and to assist where necessary. So some we thought that, oh, I'm being called by Parliament, so they wanted to check my things, whatever. And no, we don't have any interest in the municipality. The only interest that we have is that we wanted to see the services to the people. That's what we are here. Thank you very much to come to us today. I think I will hand over to you to start your presentation, and then I will let the honorable members to ask questions, because the other presentation from the Department of Water Affairs won't take time for you, but we'll listen for you, and then we'll ask questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable member, for the opportunity that we can present here today. As you already said, the presentation was present, but I will do it again. And we are actually grateful to be here today. And we are not fearful, because as the committee that is here, I know the reason why you invite us is to be of assistance. And therefore, for us, it's good to be here today, that we can present and that this committee can take what we present here today further. And my hope, it will not end in this room. It will go to the relevant structures so that we can be assisted in whatever we need. Thanks. We will start with the presentation. As we are in the Eastern Cape, we are in Kakadu, and as you look into your presentation, Kakadu is a Khoi word referring to a landscape of semi-arid plains, undulating mountains, and the sea. And it's a nice place to be in the Kakadu, and specifically in Kamdebua. It's also a Khoi word meaning green valley or a green hollow. And if you can see where Gravrene specifically is situated in that hollow, you can see it on that picture. And Kamdebua is a local municipality, and our EC number is 101. And now we will start with our executive summary. Kamdeboer is situated in the Kakadu district, and our total population is 44,370, with a total area of 12,402 square meters. And you can see how vast it is. It incorporates the town of Graaf-Reinet, and the population of Graaf-Reinet is 37,224, Aberdeen population 7,139, and New Bethesda is 1,538, according to the stats of 2011. Our households is 10,496. The Karoo is renowned for its pristine natural environment, prolific hunting grounds, diverse people and culture, and its popular tourist destination. And some of you that never been there, you have to see it to understand why I'm saying it's still a natural environment, and it's very popular for a tourist destination. And Graaf-Reinet is the seat of the municipal council, classified as a category B municipality, with a plenary system combined with a ward participating system, and we have 14 part-time councillors. Our water service situation in Graaf-Reinet, as was mentioned, is three towns, and this is Graaf-Reinet now. We get water supply from the Nweba Dam, and it's a very old dam. It's completed in 1924, and it's about 88 years now. And the height of the concrete wall is 33 meters, and it originally stored a capacity of 1,900, and when it was built in 1924, it stored 80 cubic meters. And if you look now at the storage capacity in 1998, it become less now. It's now 47.2. And the predicted storage capacity for 2025, it will be half. Where it carry 80, then it will be 40.2. And the present water that we yield per kiloliter per day is 7,500. And our water treatment works, rapid gravity filter with a capacity of 14,000 kiloliter per day. Emergency boreholes well field is 6,000 kilometer per day. There are about 20 balls, some in town and some outside on some of the communities in around the town. Our sewage treatment is the activated sludge and 4,500 kiloliter per day capacity. And we still need a phase two. And the cost of that will be 14,200,000. It needs to be complete, but that's it from the MIG finding, our phase two of the treatment was. Our challenges, and those challenges is in the Graaf-Reinet town and the suburbs in the town itself. Our water reticulation system required upgrading. As I said, it's an old town and a lot of upgrading need to be done. And the capacity and the aging of the infrastructure. And that also creates problems because the population is growing and our infrastructure is very old. And our accelerated comprehension infrastructure program funding, we require and we applied for 6.6 million, but up till now there's no reply on our application. And our wastewater service require new systems to replace septic tanks and French drain. And that is also need upgrading. And that also caused some problems. Kumasizaki, one of the townships, extra storage and pumping capacity required, and the demanding exceeding the supply. So we definitely need water. The Oshu, restructuring of water reticulation system, and that also come down because of our old iron pipes in use. As an old town and as the fourth oldest town, some of the infrastructure is really very, very old. Our pipes calcified, reducing capacity. Because of that, of the old pipes, it can't produce enough water as it's supposed to be to go through the pipes. And some of the valves is not operational because of the aging. Our accelerated comprehension infrastructure program applied for 25 million and it needs a lot of funding to replace all that old structure, so it needs to be upgraded. And what is that for? It say I must stop talking. Okay. And we also applied for funding. The wastewater system requires reconstruction, and that it's an estimated cost of 18,600,000. And all the pipes, it will repeat again. It's old. And it and even the root ingress, because it blocks the pipes when the root get into the pipes, and because of the old type of pipes we had, and then it start to block the pipes. Upgrading emergency Welsh field skin, Arvik funding applied for, and it's for the Arvik funding that we applied for was 30 million and that was for Graaf-Reinet alone. And now we are in Aberdeen, but Graaf-Reinet itself have different townships, Aberdeen, Adendorp, Umasidake, Kroonwil, Asheville 2, and then Geluksdal, so the population definitely increased. And Aberdeen, the water supply, we got six boreholes yielding 1,790 kiloliters per day. And our demand is 2,300 kiloliter per day. And specifically here in December, when people coming back home, they coming for holidays, and it's hot in December, and then we definitely sit with a problem, as we can supply only 1,790 kiloliters, and as we already exceed the demand, and with more people, we are in trouble. And we can't say people, they can't come back home because it's holiday. People want to visit their families, and even for tourists, and then that's a problem because of not having water. Our sewage oxidation pumps in use, and it's recently upgraded at a cost of $3.6 million. And there's a phase two that needs to be implemented, and MIT funding will be applied for phase two. And that is in the process of signing. So that one. And now we are in Tembele Sizwe, still part of Aberdeen, to replace a small bore sewer reticulation system. And because of that, we get a lot of problems because of people don't use, sometimes they use some other stuff in the sewage, and that creates a lot of problem for us. And we applied for funding for $5.6 million to replace that small bore sewer. In town, we have got the same problem, also the small bore sewer reticulation system. And we also apply the ESIP funding, but still there, it's for $8.8 million. Still no reply. To reconstruct water reticulation system. So on that one, there's still no reply on that application. And another funding also from ASIP is the funding, we apply different funding, but it come to one conclusion: old infrastructure, and that creates problems. And for additional water supply, the quality and storage investigation. We need money to do that because it's very, very important to have our quality of water right. And if you will see, we had a problem in Aberdeen. At present, our quality of water in Aberdeen, and imagine if you have in December the water is bad, and for time there are no water, and then even tourists that create some employment decide not to come, and then we also sit with an unemployment problem because of our water. At present, the quality of water is a problem. Most of the water classified as class 2 according to SENS 241. And we have to look at our water quality in Aberdeen, because it creates definitely a problem. And to look at all of that, and even to treat the water, money is needed to all that treatment. The water supply reported as many as 60 private wells, that is in New Bethesda. Fortunately, there is not much of a problem right now. The new treatment works constructed 2012, and there we get 320 kiloliters a day. So the New Bethesda water, but we have to sustain and look at our water, because even there people want to we have to build houses, because the population also increased there. But we also have the fountain, and they're delivering 80 liters per second. So at least New Bethesda, for now, it's fine. But we can't be satisfied about that. We have to prepare ourselves. Our sewage, mostly septic tanks or soaker waste in New Bethesda, and a full water bore is planned, and that treatment works to be upgraded in 2012-2013, so we are busy with that one. And the upgrade of our water treatment works to cater for additional housing that is now in New Bethesda, and we're also waiting for the ROD, because people is waiting for houses, and we need to build some houses, and that's we're waiting for that ROD. And the MIG funding was approved by Kakadu District Municipality for New Bethesda. The water-related issues, this is a general issues, as Kamdeboer Municipality has implemented a water conservation and demand management program. Because that program, we took it to the schools, and it was a great success. And because of that success, that the project was in 2011 and 2012, and we want to continue with that project, because we could see the impact that program has in the community with the water, by the schools. But we want to continue with the project, and even the children, you know, where you could hear where children can. I remember I passed a house after the program was done at the schools, where a child talked to the parent and what they been learned out of this program at school, and remind them not to use a lot of water, because one of the day the dam won't have enough water to supply the community. And for me it was sad, because the mother asked, where did you hear that? And they said, no, they told us at school. And there was a program, and I think that was a success. And we need sustainable water. And that water is not actually for Graaf-Reinet alone. It's for the Karoo cluster. And we already have negotiations with the deputy minister that we met with the deputy minister specifically for the water supply for the Karoo cluster, and that cluster is now the four municipalities, Bavians, Ikwezi, Blue Crane, and Kamdeboer. And maybe now we have water, but for how long will that water be? Because sometimes it's very hot, and so we need that sustainable water. And even with that, it can create more jobs. And as that area is known as the Mowe area, but there's no jobs. And it relates to, because we don't have enough water. And the other problem is retention of staff, specifically around our water. And engineers, electricians, fitters, process controllers, mechanical staff. And that is another very big problem for the small municipalities, because we can't compete with bigger municipalities, private sector, for just engineers and fitters, process controllers, because we need them so that our water can be of good quality. But if we don't have that kind of staff, then we have a problem. But we can't compete. People, I used to say the smaller municipalities is a stepping stone for staff that coming in and then leave for bigger municipalities because they can pay more, and even the private sector, and we can't compete. Regulatory factors, over-regulated, and that's where the staff, we need to have the staff to see to all the regulations. But if we don't have the staff, it's difficult to comply because of not having the right staff always. And as a municipality, we believe in the quality, because it is important to have quality water. But we need the people to look after our water, to treat our water, to look to our infrastructure, and that need qualified people to do that, to take the monsters. And therefore I said it's difficult to compete in the market. Our water and wastewater master plans, we have that. Stormwater ingress to sewer systems where people, you know, got where the water run into our sewer system. And there's also where we need people to check and see, because we have to monitor all of that. Sometimes the houses, how their storm water went into our sewer system. And the implementation and monitoring of our boreholes. Groundwater management and resource-directed measures. So all of this, we need the staff that is qualified to monitor and implement everything. Replacement of assets, especially vehicles and construction plants, treatment plants and reticulation systems, because of limited funds. And as I said, it's an old town, a lot of things are old, but we need money to replace all what we need. Limited funding when apply for grant funding, because municipality do not have funding for social component of the grant. Control and monitoring of industries. Fortunately, we don't have a lot of abattoirs. We have two. But even that, the implementation of the bylaws, so that we set the industries to comply, and we need that, again, qualified people to do that so that the industry complies. And we have no experience or qualified staff to implement all that, to see that industries must comply. Licensing of WTW boreholes, WWTW is slow process. What is there is it applying for the license, and the process is very, very slow, as the municipality already applied for it. Applications are submitted and without feedback. And I think that's why I said in the beginning we are grateful that we are here today, because when to apply, you know, at least someone needs feedback. And because we have to do the things right, but to doing the things right, we also need some assistance. And that's why, by submitting our application, we want at least feedback, acknowledgement of the receipt of the application, even if it's still in process or whatever going to happen. But we need that acknowledgement. And we are here, as Madam Chair just said it rightfully in the beginning, is not to interfere but to assist. And that's why I appreciate it. And also, on the positive side, you know, we are very grateful for the support from the RRU. As we said, we don't have all the technical people, but with that assistance, we could manage to see that our water and everything is right so that we can use it. Because what will happen if our water is not right? Where people can get sick, they can die, and then the municipality will be in trouble. But the RRU assists us a lot in this regard. And therefore, I'm very thankful for that one. At the moment, as I said, the Nueva Dam, we have water, but if we look, it's not, it don't carry that 80 cubic meters. It's less now, although for us it's full and we are satisfied, but we have to look for more sustainable water, as I said, as a discussion with the Deputy Minister, with the other municipalities, so that we can see. And with that, I think even our, except for people going out of town, we need to see what municipalities can do to keep the people in town. But if there's no jobs, people leave the town and they're only coming back holidays. But we need to do something, as our unemployment rate is also high. And if we can have some sustainable water, there are certain things that can be done when there is water. As I said, that area is known for the mowe, and we brag that we have mowe, but there's nothing that we can do. That mowe must still go out of town. There's no spin-offs of that mowe. So I just want to say to this committee, as you heard the presentation, there are things that I think that we need from you as a community, as a committee, to assist us with. And therefore, in conclusion, I'm very grateful to be here. And when I heard about the invitation, I said to myself, this is an opportunity just to come and tell our story. And this is the way where we can communicate as a municipality with the different departments involved and see how we can be assisted. So thank you very much. Baie danki. Inkosi kakhulu. So I'm not sure if there's anything that maybe Mr. Barrington want to add. Over to you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much.
Is there anything you want to add, sir?
Madam Chair, I'd just like to congratulate the Mayor. I think I've got a budding engineer here next to me. He did it very well, and he's passed the message across very, very clearly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I must take this up to welcome Honorable West. Yeah, welcome Honorable West, like this, this is currently a poor municipality. But also the budget from water affairs. I think we all heard about, we all listened carefully about the presentation. I think I will open this time for questions and clarity.
I'll also caution the department that if they've listened carefully, they must also assist us in other things. For example, they are complaining about the received, you said, no acknowledgement of the letter that they have written to the department. So I think that thing we must clarify now what's happening in those things that they have applied. So it's very fortunate because the water affairs is here and also municipality is here. So I'll open some questions to the members and also I'll give the department some clarities. I'm sure they have noted down all the things that also, especially those are coming from the Eastern Cape, they know everything about these things. Thank you very much. I'll give Honorable, starting from you, Honorable Whip. You?
Yeah,
Way.
Oh, I thought you
said
Whip.
Whip.
Yeah.
Your mic is this one.
I'm sorry, Chair. First of all, I must say, I'm sure all of us sympathize with the mayor. The picture she has painted is quite disturbing. You can see that this is a struggling municipality and which really needs a lot of assistance in terms of funding, in terms of technicians, in terms of almost everything. I understand the dam that is supplying water is built 88 years ago. Now, one can just imagine a dam that has been built 88 years ago, when the population of the particular area was still not grown as it is today. Now, after such a long time when the population has grown, how is the dam being able to supply sufficient water to the growing population? In that score, rather than criticizing, I would like to advise the mayor that the dam needs to be capacitated, and by doing that it means that a new dam must be built that will be able to supply sufficient water. As the last word of what you said, Mayor, is that you have the Mohe, and the Mohe still leaves town, and I'm sure to beneficiate Mohe, you need a lot of water. So that by relying on a dam that is not even supplying enough drinking water, you cannot, you know, invite industry to come and invest in your area. However, the mayor talks a lot about applying for funding. Now, one would like to know, when you apply for funding, are the plans of what you are applying for already been done? And if they are not done, what estimates you give to those that you apply for funding from? You have to have some point where you say, because of this plan, we are applying funding for, you know, for so much. The other issue is the sewage, the sanitation. My question here will be, are the bucket systems still in use in that area? And if it is still in use, what is the council's plan to eradicate bucket system? Because that is a very long outmoded way of using, you know, bucket for sanitation. The mayor talked about electrician, engineers, and, you know, I'm sure all the necessary technicians. What would you like to know, what are the municipal plans to resolve this issue of, because now we are almost 20 years, you know, in the new dispensation and being in government, this must have been our first experience when we got into government. And for that, what has the municipality done to sort of train their own people? This morning I was looking at the news in the, you know, in the television. I saw a group of 300 youngsters being sent out of KZN to Cuba for medical training. And that is the initiative of the province. It's not the initiative of the government, of the national government. It's the initiative of the province. The MEC of health also appeared there. He said, we are doing this because the facility is already there. Now, for us as a province, we have to put funding in order to be able to send so many youngsters to Cuba for medical training. Because if we take all the 9 provinces in South Africa, KZN has got the biggest health problem. So we had to do something. So in that, Mayor, I would also say, your council, you're a government of a certain sphere, and then you have also above you, you have the provincial government, which is now taking care of the whole problem. I think you need to come together with the MEC who's concerned about this issue and talk about it and suggest that the province must actually make some plans to initiate something that can be done in order to alleviate the shortage of technical staffs. The mayor has also mentioned, and the other one is the, you mentioned the application to ask for an 18 million rand grant. I did not get what is going to be spent on that 18 million rand. And then the last one is that you have sent so many applications asking for funding and with no response. What has the mayor and or the council, what steps have been taken to sensitize whoever you're asking fund from, that they need to respond, even just as you say, acknowledgement of a receipt of the application. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Cook.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is in connection with the 14 part-time counselors. Can you explain more? What are these part-time mean? And then number two, let us go back again to the dam, which is built in 1924. You came up with the first measurement was it contains 80 cubic meters, as I say. And then 1998 it was 47. Then let me ask, what was the cost? Is it the slide during the rain which fill up the dam, or what is it? You know, can you try to explain? And what formula did you use in order to determine this type of water level? You know, that's all that. Emergency borehole, you are saying 6,000 cubic liter per day. I'm sure you are meaning the whole six what, how many of them? 6,000 what, how many boreholes are there? 20 boreholes, as you said. And how many per borehole can you measure the water? What, how many quantity per one borehole? Because you may give this number instead of 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. They are not giving anything. I'm not going to repeat the question of budget, okay. here, these six boreholes are yielding 1,790 kiloliters. Now, was the investigation conducted in order to see whether you can have an additional borehole, because you are saying your need, what are your demand is 2,300. Is there any possibility to add up the borehole so that we'll be able to curb this
supply?
The supply.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, another question. We have to look. Okay. This reported as many, these 60 private boreholes. I can see that, among the mayor, you only jump to the 60 number of private boreholes. What is the requirement of the local master? How many boreholes are supposed to be there? Because when you start to have concern is when you or they have exceeded a certain target or a number required by the municipality. I think that is all. Thank you, Honorable Mayor.
Thank you, Honorable Makubeni. I don't know, Honorable, what this you have got, because we have received the presentation from, at least maybe you know that thing that you can ask questions. Okay, I'll
all
give
right.
it to you.
Just one quick one.
Okay, fine.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, and I apologize. I must have my apologies for being late. It's because of the rainy weather here, but we need that rain in the Free State. I'm from Free State Province, so if you could send some there. Just one quick question on the dam, Cueva Dam. I see that from 1998, as my colleague alluded to next to me here, to 2025, has lost, I take it, 7 million cubic meters of water. Is that as a result of silting up? Is there not a way that one, you can hire the dam wall as well, that will carry on silting to increase that additional capacity? Is there no way of dredging that dam, or is the costs incurred not worth it? Thank you, Chair.
The last one, the last question that I wanted to ask, the last question I wanted to ask is the calcification of the water pipes, which actually even reduces the water supply. Is that water still healthy to drink? Is it healthy? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think what I'm going to do now with the municipality, also the technical staff can assist the mayor to answer some technical questions. Because she's a politician, some of the technical you cannot. So I'll give the municipality to answer the question, and then after that, I'll give the department to give some clarity in other things that you want to know. But the first one will be the municipality to answer the question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, a lot of interesting questions. Yes, I'll go through them one by one. If this one, please just remind me. Talking about the dam, yes, the dam was built in 1926, but you must remember the dam was built as an irrigation dam, not purely for the town. Only in the last about 8 years that the council have had full supply of the dam, water supply. Notwithstanding that the irrigation has now been bought out by the municipality, once the dam gets to 40% of capacity, we cannot use the water anymore because of quality, due to eutrophication, salination, etc. Yes, the dam is sorting up dramatically. There was a question as where do we get those figures from? The department did an investigation on those figures. The dredging would be far too expensive. It's a massive amount of mud to be removed. Heightening of the wall is basically also out of the question, because once you heighten the wall, you increase the surface area of the water. That just leads to to more evaporation. So it's actually defeating the object. What one needs to do is actually build a dam further upstream, which is sort of been spoken about, in a deep gorge, which is rather deeper than wide and big.
You say because evaporation, it is better to build the dam deeper than wider and up.
That's correct, yes. Because your surface area decreases if it's deep and you don't get so much evaporation of the top. All those have been looked at. And just on the positive side, let's get it started a bit negative. But this dam has been declared the most dangerous dam in the country. We did a water safety audit on it, but luckily Water Affairs have come to the party. They advised the council to purchase the dam, and they are now going to repair the dam for us to get it up to safety standards, which we are very grateful for, because a small municipality cannot afford the millions of billions of rand that's going to be required to stabilize that dam wall. The question about the plans for all the funding, yes, plans are in place. Studies are in place. Backlog studies are in place. That is why we can quantify a lot of these applications we're doing. Now, a lot of these applications are done by service providers or were done previously by service providers, and we asked them to do the applications on our behalf as well. So they realize what the backlogs are there. So, yes, we have plans in place. We have studies in place. So if our funding is available, yes, we can implement the projects. The question about buckets, we haven't got any buckets. Every site in Kraftnet or in Akamlewe is serviced with a water meter, so they've all got water and buckets. There are no buckets. We have a few French drains and cycleways, etc., but that isn't really the problem, but there are no buckets. The problem of what are we going to do about retaining staff? On the management side, we are talking already about trying to introduce a scarce skills levy. But it's very, very difficult. We, at the moment, with Water Affairs funding, we are training 4 process controllers. And they have only done NQF2, and they're starting the NQF3 level of training now in water and wastewater. And they've already been offered positions in bigger municipalities. These people are very, very, very scarce. To train them takes a lot, but to retain them is a problem. But we're going to counter that in a bit of a way, but we can only do temporarily. If they sign a contract with us, they train for 4 years, they're going to work for us for 4 years. That's a sort of counter. But, I mean, that's a very temporary solution, because these chaps are going to be offered 5 times the amount of salary that we can offer them, and they can just buy themselves out anyway. So it's a big problem. Engineers is a problem. Any trained engineer now will rather go to a bigger municipality. I'm a professional engineer. I retired to come to Kraftnet to come farming, and the mayor said now I was working for the municipality. So that's why I'm there. But, I mean, we just can't attract because of our salary scales. And I think that's something SALGA might have to look at. Our local government organization might have to look at these scarce skills somehow maybe attract back and more attractive. Young people don't stay in smaller municipalities. That is definite. Honourable member, they asked what the 18 million was for. That was for upgrading the sewer system in Kraftnet, where we still have use of the old vitrified clay pipes. Now, if anyone knows old vitrified clay pipes, they probably were put in about 60 years ago. It was the art sewage system, but they are old, they break, they're brittle, you get roots ingress. So that was what the 18 million rand was required there. The 14 part-time councils, I think we've now got 13 part-time and 1 full-time, I think the mayor has just been made a full-time councillor now. Okay. But what do you mean by 14 part-time councillors is they've still got a day job. And the council works sort of, you can say, after hours. So they're all employed as teachers, or farmers, or doctors, or lawyers, whatever you want to call it.
Come on. Although it's part-time, all of them are only counselors. They don't have any other job except one counselor. But all of them are only in council.
But what I mean by about part-time is that that's, that kids could have other jobs as well. Now, I think the borrow numbers were a bit confusing. We got 6 boroughs in Aberdeen. We were talking only about Aberdeen, and then we got about 20 odd in Crawford Net. So it might be a bit confusing, the borrow numbers. We do, as the mayor has alluded, in Aberdeen we do need additional boroughs. But boroughs isn't our biggest problem. It's the quality of our water that's the problem. Water affairs will tell you that the new sands do for one, the old one used to have 2 classes of water, where class 2 could be used for a limited period for human consumption, but now we're only going to have 1 class. And for us to comply with that as a municipality is going to cost us, well, we can comply, we've got to treat the water. But that's going to be a very, very expensive process, probably reverse osmosis or something like that, something which the municipality basically has got to pass onto the customers, which is unfortunate. They just haven't got the money. When we talk about New Bethesda, 60 private boroughs, New Bethesda is a unique little town. It's got a fountain that supplies it with water, and basically every plot in New Bethesda has got its own borough as well. But all these boroughs, all these boroughs, not one is registered or licensed. So they're all operating illegally. And also, they're also finding with the borrow system and using the old pit latrines and using the old septic tanks and fresh drains, those borrows are becoming contaminated. So people are moving away from using their own private borrows and going onto the municipal system. Then the last question was about the calcification affecting the quality of the water. This calcification takes a process over many years. So if a little bit does come through, it won't affect the quality of the water. It's not dangerous to human consumption, put it that way. It's just like a big cake that forms in the pipe. So I'm not a chemist or anything, but I very much doubt that that will have any effect on the quality of the water. And this is my final comment. The mayor mentioned, thank you for the support from the Rapid Response Unit, the RRU. Much to our dismay, we heard in the last week that their services have been withdrawn. They were rendering tremendous, tremendous services. If you look at our blue drop and green drop and brown drop scores from last year, they were very low. And because of the help of this rapid response unit, we've learned what is required. And we are expecting at least, well, not to get blue drops and green drops, but a vast improvement in. And without their help, and even your bigger metros, your bigger municipalities, they are suffering. They're struggling as well to comply. We were lucky to have the rapid response unit, but now I certainly believe that this band or something, they're not working anymore. So I'm just perturbed that the continuation of the good work they were doing doesn't continue. And if the smaller municipalities that aren't capacitated, this is going to be a major problem. Thank you, Madam Chair. Any further questions? I haven't answered anything clearly. I'll gladly answer.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think because the department response, because they've got the presentation, and they also it is also included in their presentation. I think we must let the department to present, and then for the questions that they must answer. They will touch on their presentation. When I look at their presentation, also somebody is included in their presentation. Let's wait and let's give the water affairs to present, and then the municipality must listen carefully, may must listen carefully, and then if they want some clarities and other things, and then it will be clarified by the department now. Let's hand over to the department now to give us the presentation. Thank you very much,
Chief. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Mr. Poshia Makanya, who is the Chief Director, Eastern Cape Region, will start with the presentation, and will be complemented by Andrew Lucas,
rules and regulations. If you can hand over to Porsche Makanya then. And rightfully said, thank you, Chair, also for anticipating. I was going to request you that we include this part of the presentation, and then if it's not adequately addressed, aspects of it, from the infrastructure support, we also have the acting DG infrastructure, but I think the technical guys. So we'll tidy up all of those things, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just waiting for the presentation to be projected.
They're preparing presentation now. I was encouraging this lady to start saying something like, we say, Umfundi Sulindo I call. Anyway, she is the. She
Thank you, ma'am. we will co-present with Mr. Lucas, as was said by the DG. The first part of the presentation, basically, as per the request, will talk to the RBIC project or program in the Takadu District Municipality. Just to give a bit of background, all right, let me just talk to the staples, the outline first. This is the outline of the presentation, just giving background on the grant itself and its policies, and also just a regional overview, and then getting specifically to the projects in Kakadu, categorizing them to those that are under construction and those that are still in planning phases. This is a background. National Treasury and Water Affairs initiated the RBIC program, and I think we are quite familiar with the background to this program. The main purpose was to supplement the financing of development of regional bulk water and sanitation infrastructure, which seeks to support government's development target, the eradication of water services specifically, as well as socio-economic priorities, enablement of growth and development initiatives, as well as addressing specific water risks. Although the project scope was originally just regional, the scope has been expanded to go also to include internal bulk. Regional, I mean, cross boundaries. It was just to target those projects that would benefit a number of water services authorities, looking at municipal boundaries, but also now it looks at the internal bulk itself. There are policies that are guiding us administrating this funding. It's part of it's a Schedule 7 grant, and Water Affairs remain responsible and accountable for the management of this specific grant. So we cannot blame a lack of progress in terms of expenditure to anyone else but Water Affairs. Accountability remains again with Water Affairs, and National Treasury and the Department would then, through bilateral arrangement, also prioritize and prepare all DORA requirements for this grant. And co-funding is also another expectation as part of the policy, where the municipality is expected to co-fund
the projects that we would be approving under this particular grant, especially where there's commercial industrial uses involved or benefits. The regional overview before I get to the municipality itself. We've got a regional allocation of 514 million, and that slide, I won't dwell much into it. It just gives us a breakdown of expenditure as per the financial allocation for 2012-13. It lists all infrastructure, bulk infrastructure programs that we are funding. But we have this municipality also benefiting from the same grant. That is then abstracted in the following slides, but this is just the picture that we have as a regional program. And the next slide also just gives more detail about a possible MTF allocations that are set aside for the specific programs or projects that are already approved and included in the list for funding currently. Those are the funding splits over the MTF period for the program at large. Then we've got other proposed budgets and allocation going again to the outer years for especially those that are new projects that are currently still being investigated for feasibility based new projects where feasibility is to be determined. But before I get into the actual projects that we would be implementing, I think as the Honourable Mayor has presented, whilst talking to water services challenges and progress currently, there has been reference to the existing sustainability of the water resource itself, where water resource has been referred to. So I would, at this point, just request my colleague to just take us through just the water resource status, and then we go back into the regional bulk program, so that we just have the whole picture into the same context. Andrew.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. If we can look at slide number 10, and this tries to describe the Kakadu district into its nine local municipal areas. And you can see the bold line in probably a purple colour is the whole of the district, and it's broken up with green lines into the different local municipalities, of which there are nine, and Nelson Mandela Metro in the lower one on the coast. Of these nine local municipalities, we've roughly divided them into the Karoo cluster and the coastal cluster. Now, most of the coastal municipalities have a higher rainfall, and they have both surface and groundwater sources. But most of the Karoo clusters, it is typical Karoo that has a low rainfall and therefore high evaporation, and surface waters are a challenge to maintain. So there's not a large number of dams in this area because of the challenges that would bring with the high evaporation and low rainfall. The map is now up on the board, and I'm not too sure, my pointer doesn't reach. But if we, one of the big questions that has been asked for many years, two decades or more, has been a regional water scheme. A regional water scheme that would come down, and I'm afraid my pointer is not strong enough. Just look at those plates. And on the next slide, we try and describe the scheme. And I'm sorry, I wish I had another pointer that was strong enough. But you can see, or maybe I should come a bit closer. Can I do that? The orange water, people have been asking for the regional orange fish water source. It comes into the East Cape. Sorry, my pointer is ready.
No, but
Can I stand there? It comes in through the orange fish tunnel that we see up here, and then comes through into the Fish River, which comes down right along and out at the coast at Port Alfred. So
water and the Orange River water comes through the system. Now most of this pothole falls into Kisani district municipality, and this portion is the Kakadu district. The water is diverted from the great fish into the little fish, and Cut-off makes use of this water. Somerset East, Aikio, Cooker benefits from this water. It then gets diverted at the Mistral into the lower Sundays River, and then it comes down, and here at Skipper Slough there, it's diverted into the Ford River. So the Orange River water does come down this portion, but the Karoo also says they want to share this water. This is the Nueva Dam we saw photographs of at Craft Renette. As we heard, it was an agricultural dam, but the soils were not really that good for agriculture. And the decision was taken to actually stop the agriculture, film the water rights to the town for the use in Craft Renette. But for the last couple of decades, the Kakadu have said they want regional schemes. Now technically, it can be done. Sustainably, in terms of finances and in terms of environmental circumstances, it is difficult. And as technical people, they say it's a challenge. But if a political decision needs to be taken, then this is the challenge that we are sitting with. Because what is sustainable is not always affordable. And so these are challenges. Now I want to run through, in this presentation, it describes different options. So maybe we should move to the next slide. And this talks about the Karoo. Sorry, can you all hear me? If I do stand up here, then I'm not leaning over the microphone. This talks about the Karoo cluster of municipalities that is making use of Orange River water. And we can see Sundays River Valley, it talks about the towns that are involved, and the water service sources are surface water, Orange River Project, that's what ORP stands for. They receive Orange River Project water from the Sundays River Irrigation Scheme. They also make use of groundwater. And the issues are that they need additional allocations out of these water sources. If we look at Blue Crane Route, I'm going to go to the sources of water. Again, they've got surface water use, and it comes out of the Little Fish Irrigation Scheme. They also make use of groundwater, and again, additional water allocations are required. An ACEP project at Somerset East on water conservation and demand management, as well as for upgrading of the wastewater treatment works. In Makana Municipality, they receive surface water via bulk dams. The Glen Noble Dam is one of the dams on the Orange River Scheme, as well as groundwater and municipal water schemes. And also there's an ACEP program there looking at water conservation and demand management in Makana that DWAC is DWA is funding. If we can go to the next slide. This is the also Karoo cluster, and these are the municipalities that are looking for this regional scheme. And we can see that they come to Boer at Graaf Reinet make use of surface water, but the balance all use groundwater. And we've heard that they have water shortage experienced and water quality problems. The water is brackish and therefore very costly to treat. But this, we need to treat it to make sure that it remains fit for use to the consumers. In Ikwezi, we have very similar circumstances. We've heard Water Affairs through the RRU intervention has had quite a lot of planning work being done in Ikwezi Municipality. And then in Babian's Municipality, very similar things mentioned there. There's a pilot project on the Karoo towns in the Babian's Municipality, but we're not able to complete the various modules of that project due to funding constraints. There's also an ACEP project at Willowmore in Babian's Municipality. Now, if you read at the bottom there, these municipalities all want this regional water scheme from Orange River Project. Technical investigations does not support a regional scheme on affordability and sustainability, and rather first develop local resources. If those local resources prove unsustainable, then we will definitely have to consider a regional option. Can I have the next slide? These are the coastal cluster, and I don't know if you need me to go through in detail, but they will describe the issues. Kokum Municipality, I just want to highlight that there is one political issue that comes out, that the state dams are often in the local municipal area, but are controlled by the Metro, Nelson Mandela Metro. And they say they want control over those dams, and they want to be able to rather sell the water to Nelson Mandela. But prior to the demarcation, it was planned to support the urban industrial and urban areas of Nelson Mandela Metro. In Kokama, again, there's additional allocations required. and most of it is surface water use, some groundwater. And in Ndlambi, we've also got challenges with shortages of water and brackish water, but a new regional bulk scheme is planned for Ndlambi area. If I can have the next slide. I don't know if I need to go into all the details, but this is the history of this possible regional Orange River project scheme. And it shows that it was first mooted as an irrigation scheme in the upper middle reaches of Sundays River in white paper of 1962. And the intention was irrigation water was to be delivered from Tierbus via the Waalpfatsberg route over the mountain to Sundays River at Graaf-Reinet, and that would go into Nueva Dam. However, the scheme for the upper middle Sundays River would have been about 13,700 hectares, what has always proved too expensive, even with enormous subsidies and writing off of capital costs. And there are other fatal flaws too, such as suitability of soil and so forth. The upper Sundays River scheme thus was removed from the Orange River project in the revision of the white paper of 1971. Which was a revision of the original white paper of 62. So the communities often go back to that original white paper of 62 and says, see, it was planned for the Karoo area as well. And on request of the Water Service Authorities, a regional Orange River planning scheme to supply only domestic water and small food plots was investigated by the department in 2005. And I'm going to describe some of those schemes shortly. The investigation showed that the regional Orange River planning scheme for domestic water only was also expensive, excessively expensive, and we looked at 33 variations or options that were considered, and I think we'll show you some of those later. But right now, this is the first option. This is the scheme preferred by the Karoo cluster municipalities. These are the ones that Mayor spoke about, Kondabur, Ikwezi, Blue Crane Route, and Bavians. And it would take water from Somerset East via the red lines. This would be pipes and pumps all the way up to Pearson and up to Graaf-Reinet, then across to Jansenville, Klipblad, Stateleville, and Willemore. We will compare the costs of the scheme to operate it and to maintain it as well. So this is the one of the 32 schemes. This is the one that was preferred by Karoo Cluster. I will also talk to the most economical scheme at a later slide. If we can move to the next slide, please. At the same time, you've heard of studies done by Water Affairs that looked at the All Towns Reconciliation Strategies. These look at what are the needs for a town, what are the available resources, and what strategies must be put in place to meet those needs up to 2035. And this shows Jansenville specifically when our Deputy Minister visited the area, and the red line shows the yield. The green line shows developments, and it's proposed that groundwater developments be done to meet the various scenarios. And each one of the colored lines show different scenarios, including water conservation and demand management. But it shows that the yield can be increased through further development of groundwater. If I can take the next slide. So each town has that. This is a comparison, and the green blocks are the Orange River Project proposed scheme compared to the next augmentation scheme. In terms of the all town studies, and they look specifically at those six towns that were shown in that bigger map, and the names of the towns are listed on the left, and we can see the capital cost of a regional scheme would be 1.4 billion and the running costs would be 158 million per year. Now if we look at the gradual increment of the all town study, where we look at local resource development first, the capital costs would only need 40 million, and the running costs would be in the region of 6.1 million. So we can see we're talking very different figures there to deliver water to the same community. If we can look at the next slide, this assumes, and the argument is often put forward, if the funds are a grant for the capital costs, then we only have to worry about operations. And again, here we've compared the Orange River regional scheme to the local schemes for the same group of towns. And the unit cost of water, if it's capital and running costs included, is the first column of 46 million per year. If the capital costs are removed, and that's been funded out of a grant, and we only look at running costs, it's going to cost 4.6 rand per kiloliter. sorry, those are in rands per kiloliter. And that is substantially higher than what communities are expected to pay. If we look at the local scheme developments which are proposed by the All Town Studies, we can see that the unit cost, including capital and running costs, is between almost 0 and 4.8 rand a cubic meter. And if we take out the capital cost, it is drops right down to up to 1.7 rand per cubic meter for the running costs only. And again, this excludes the purification process. And remember, that purification process could be purely a conventional treatment where you flocculate and sediment and filter, or it could be a salt removal system where we've got high salinity. And those are what's being looked at now for Ikwezi. If we can have a look at the next slide, please. This shows an option which was the cheapest Orange River project option. And this one is cheap because it uses the river paths as to transfer water. So I'm afraid I must come up to the top and just describe it to you. Again, this is the Orange, the Fish River here. And as the water comes down, it will be taken to Hofmeyr and Middelburg that are in Kirkmani. We would then bring the water across the Barfoss Pass and release it into Mweba Dam. And then you allow it to pass down the Sundays River. But the challenge with that is it picks up the salt of that river system. And so all the time the water is deteriorating. So it's a cheaper option, but it's not as environmentally satisfactory. And you might have to put in desalination lower down. And our experiences on the lower fish is at some stage the river becomes too salty to be effective for irrigation or for domestic use. This scheme then would pump the water from Yankenbol to Kliplight, again release it in the river, pump it further even as far as Willowmore. This scheme is cheaper, but it would have to have more treatment because of the salt. So these are the decisions we are trying to make as water managers to say, it can be done, but it's going to be very costly. And a decision has to be taken. Do we go that route? If I can go for the next slide, we compare the costs here in a similar manner. Now there's more towns involved because it goes wider. And you can then see that it's a cheaper option in this. It's 1.2 billion for the capital cost, with a running cost of 218 million, sorry. And then compared to the regional scheme developments, which would be 71 million with a running cost of 10.6 million. So these are the type of decisions would have to be taken. Do you go local or regional schemes? And I think, Madam Chair, that shows the comparison of the water resource situation we're dealing with. Things are possible, but there is cost associated with it. And if we can find the funds, we might want to go for the highly technical options, but remember those options will require highly technical people to manage those facilities. And those are also going to be a challenge to attract those people into to maintain these sophisticated systems that will be required. At this stage, a lot of our communities are supplied with groundwater, and the reality is there's no measuring or monitoring done of those groundwater sources. So if you're not measuring how much you're pumping, you don't actually know how much you're taking out of the system. And most groundwater systems have got a yield, and we say don't pump more than so much water. And often this is so much per 24 hours. If you exceed that pumping rate, you're going to cause your water table to drop. And I'm going to use a very simple comparison that is typically using a subsistence use of a resource. And we know that subsistence use, if there's plenty there, we make use of it. When there's none there, we do without. And we find that many of the groundwater schemes in our Eastern Cape province are not effectively managed. And if it is better managed, it can be far more sustainable. And because groundwater is out of sight, it's easy to blame the water table rather than the operation and maintenance challenges that exist often in the pumps and in the supply of energy to bring that water to the surface. So we definitely need to improve the way these resources are managed. And I want to use another example. We're trying to meet the standard that is first world. We've got our blue drop system, our green drop systems in place. And some of the municipalities are battling to even capture the information on our blue drop systems. And if they're battling to capture it now, if we give a much more sophisticated system, we're going to have that capacity boosted tremendously. Thanks very much. So I think that just gives an idea of the challenges we have with managing groundwater. It can be a very effective resource, but it has to be managed like all other sources. Just briefly on the quality side, we've heard here that groundwater can be, certain areas that can be more salty than others, and that is often because of the geological nature that was the geological origins of that particular area. And we do know that most of the Karoo areas does have fairly salty groundwater. And along with that salt can come other undesirable heavy metals too. We've heard of people complaining of zinc and manganese in the water, which causes a discoloration and a black color. We have reached the stage, our South African national standards have changed from 2006 to 2011, and they've changed because we believe it's in the best interest of the consumer for a safe water source. Most of the Karoo towns will have to look at improved treatment to meet the new South African standards. And that is just the reality that the geology in the area does deliver a brackish water source.
Okay. I'll continue again, Chair. I've also asked Mr. Lucas to, as you requested, we bring in other issues already raised so that we respond. So that last part was actually talking to that, so it's not on the slide, the issue of boreholes and quality. then going further with the RD programs, then this is not giving the context of the water resource issues. Again, now continuing with the presentation on the RBIC programs, where I said we're going to get specifically to the projects in the municipality. We've got projects that are currently under implementation. The Sandys River Patterson Park Water Supply, the Ndambe Regional Water Supply, as well as the state level. The first two are progressing very well. We've seen the expenditure and allocations against the allocation expenditure against those allocations. I must say in Ndambe, regional bulk water has, we've moved funding, I'm sure it has come across the media as well. Money moved from Owar Tambo, where there were slow-moving programs, projects, and for us not losing the money out of the province, we take money from slow-moving projects to projects that are moving faster. We took money from Owar Tambo and increased the number allocation from 30 to 50, and it is progressing well. Amatola Water is the implementing agent. Also, the state level is funded, and it's also in its procurement stages. And the next slide, we just added these slides just to give more detail on the project itself. It doesn't change the context. The Patterson bulk, just to give a clearer picture as to what is going to unpack what it's going to do, which is not covered in the previous slide. It's the bulk water supply scheme located within this municipality, where it's aimed to augment the existing infrastructure in Patterson and Addo, and to serve the population of more than 8,000. And I don't want to go into detail into that, but that gives us the picture of more detail into this project-specific information. The next is the Ndambe, also under construction. Also, construction of a raw water abstraction point lower the Fish River, and the augmentation of Derby water treatment works, and conveyance infrastructure such as pump stations and pipelines towards the towns of Clenemonde, Port Alfred, Buffers, and the rest. That is also just unpacking, giving just a clearer picture on the project as it is. And those that we say are also still under studies. The Gavrietnet emergency water supply, the Muskan and Kokama, Ikwezi, Kirkwood water treatment works, and James Greenhans in Makana. These are the projects that are under feasibility in this district municipality. This has been a combined presentation between
the two provinces for this meeting, but also just to conclude on the Eastern Cape and some responses to the presentation made by the Honourable Mayor, the issue of ASAP funding that was repeatedly raised in slides. I must say this has been one of the department's initiative understanding the need and the challenges at municipality level, and that need not to just sit back and do nothing. Reprioritizing its own funding and set some funding aside to deal with the challenges. It's very limited funding. As a region, the Eastern Cape region, we've got an allocation of 40 million this financial year, and it's slowly increasing as we go along. We've got an allocation of 40 million to service the whole of Eastern Cape, and it looks at water leakages, water conservation and demand management programs, some refurbishment of infrastructure, and some emergency areas where there's nothing, and some crisis arises, and where we could put up some form of a safe water drinking water supply driven by the need. But it is very limited to match with the demand. It is understandable that it shows a very clear need of funding that needs to be set aside for refurbishing existing infrastructure that is out there. We know the sector is faced across the country with aged infrastructure, and there's a need to invest in the refurbishment of such infrastructure. ASAP was just an attempt of the department to get, so it's not funding really that has been fully looking at refurbishment work. So I do understand the need of the municipality, along with other municipalities, in terms of the list of infrastructure development programs that they would have and a need for funding. So it's bigger than ASAP, and it needs dedicated funding on it. And where ASAP has gone in, for instance, also just leakages, preparing pipes, where there was a need for upgrade, just that intervention of repairing leaks and meters, installing meters, there has been a drop in terms of the demand of even the upgrades that were there. So it is funding that is required and needs to be dedicated. I think my principals will talk about the interim water supply arrangements that are there, because understanding that ASAP is not going to do it, the department has approached National Treasury, and Minister has really put this close to her heart to push for additional funding for such work. But I think my principles will come in later on the national program on that. There are positive indications. The issue of communication, I do understand that this is one area where there is no reply in terms of approval. But in terms of, also I think we note the issue of strengthening communication in terms of acknowledging correspondence, as was said. And it's a need we note that, and we will make sure that, I'm sure maybe they're not the only one affected, and it's one thing the department takes on, but there are bilateral engagements with municipalities. Bi-monthly, we've met with the cluster, including this municipality, Kamdepo Municipality, last week. This happens bi-monthly, where specific issues are discussed at that level, operational issues. So these issues should find themselves in the agenda of such meetings, and we together with the municipalities, agree on agenda items. And I think maybe I will give feedback to such meetings so that we make sure that when we go to those meetings, municipalities have got the understanding that they will put issues on the agenda that they would want feedback on. Issues like age, we need to report back maybe on all applications submitted to us, their licenses and all other issues that were raised. But on the licensing issue, we are not going to be defensive as a department to say that the delays that have been alluded to are not there. we are the first to accept that it has been a program that has not been managed efficiently as a department. And I think Minister also have really done major interventions that has changed the picture right now. Eastern Cape, compared to other regions, is the only region that, okay, and Free State, that do not have backlogs in terms of licenses currently. But as I'm saying, at bilateral level, we need to get into the detailed application per license to say where it is and give that feedback to that detail. But currently, we have I've drawn up a spreadsheet on applications we've received just from 2011. We have received two from Kaimu Depua, in fact one, and a general authorization has been issued. So I don't have an application now on my desk on Kamdepua, but I would know that part of the backlogs which Minister has put in Elatima project, there's Elatima project where officials across all provinces officials across all departments, all offices in the department are now based into a central venue. All applications and backlogs are processed in that venue. And so that we kill this backlog, they're doing nothing else except pushing these licenses. A parallel process is that regional offices get applications and they fast-track. That's why I'm saying for 11-12, I am not aware, according to our records, of applications that are outstanding. But those that were in the backlog, which would have applications since 2001 to 2010, are being pushed. And it's prioritized to exactly talk to service delivery programs, to mining licenses, to agricultural development applications. So those sectors are actually prioritized. And if there is particular licenses that we get selected, we are able to go, especially local government licenses, we especially go there and make sure that we assist. In fact, the project, the normal way to go is to say, this application is complete. And it's not a dua. The ball is not in our court to process this, or the reason why it's held back. But because it's local government, and because Minister is advocating the same message, that we must understand that we are one government, and therefore the local government sector is the sphere is the only group of applications, and the historically disadvantaged groups, of course, and farmers. That we say these ones, even if the communication is, the information is incomplete, you do not return, because you must now understand that now I've got a contribution to make, we've got a role to play, assist municipalities in completing incomplete applications as well as the historically disadvantaged groups. So, but I'm we will look into specific applications if there are any that need to be sorted out. You talked about the RRU as well, and RRU is again DWA's initiative to say let's go in there and support municipalities. However, DWA sees the need, but unfortunately the financial resources to support these interventions are not always there, because we are all depending on the message from National Treasury as well to approve this funding. This is one program where even Minister, as the one government approach to challenges on the ground, where we cannot just sit back and go. RRU has had a number of engineers, but it's costing us, unfortunately. We don't have funding resources to sustain it. But there's also another vehicle, MISA, which has been brought in to do exactly the same issue that RRU is doing. We are working together with MISA to try to draw resources from MISA, but the Municipal Infrastructure Grant Support Agency. Our recent engagement with National Treasury trying to get money for RRU referred us to MISA to say you are duplicating, go to MISA and we need to. So, however, what we're doing currently, our RRU, just to put the to explain to the presenter earlier, to the gentleman, Mr. Bunter, DWA has appointed Amatola Water as an implementing agent for RRU. However, currently, there had to be a temporary suspension of the activities because of, so that we are all in line with the PFMA. Auditor General has come in, he has picked up some issues which we need to urgently address, and we said once that has been addressed, it's not a program that we want to see off municipalities. But in all support programs in municipalities, this has been the challenge, that we create a dependency, and once you pull the plug, the pain is immediately felt. So it's also a call to say, when we go in and support, let also be an understanding, or at least a complementing move, to make sure that if there were vacant positions, we've got them filled, so that there is skills transfer, so that when the plug is pulled, we do not find ourselves wanting. We've seen this happening under DBSA programs and many support programs, but we do understand the frustration under the RRU. Unfortunately, funding resources, the PFMA, are guiding us, and as I'm saying, we are the first one to know that there's a key need for this type of support, but to sustain it has been a challenge. We're hoping to come back after this review period to municipalities to say, where are we going to trim and where are we going to go ahead, because we are really constrained here. But there are key contractual matters between the same PSPs and Amatola Water that have got to be sorted out. And I think that is mainly responding to the issues that were raised currently on these two programs. And that is now the end of my presentation as the Eastern Cape before the panel comes in. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, we do have for Mopane as well, and you can introduce yourself, and Mopane district, which is part of the...
Yes.
Mopane, I think, is in another province.
Yeah,
it's with your guidance, you can finish the
this
one. The question is up to you. It's in the Popo.
We deal with this one first, so that when you go there, then we distort ourselves from the concentration of the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we had the presentation. I think I will allow the questions from, and also, yeah, if you have got some clarities, I will allow you to give you the chance to ask some questions. But you know, I think there is a, with this problem of water, it's still a problem. As we're going outside to take an oversight, there's an outcry of water, and I think it's proper now to, I'm very glad when you talk about, you said that we have the meetings with the municipalities. You know, we have been in constant zones. I don't want to forget that, because it was a very, very bad area where the people, they don't even water for the animals. It's very bad. And also in the municipalities, that municipality, they also use the septic tank. So I don't know what is it. That is the situation. How did you? Because I don't see the potentials in this. I mean, that one is very bad, as we have been there. And the areas like Pashagas and the others, they don't even have water for animals. It's very, very dry. I don't know the why what's here. So I think also to talk about the process that under studies. How long did you take to study those things? How long did you take to study this? Because, you know, outside the people are crying. And when were they said to us, you know, when we come here as the members of parliament, this is the first time we see the people and the officials. We will not see it again. So it's what they are saying, it's not us. So I don't know, more especially in this crisis of water. So I think I'll hand over the honourable members. Just some comments on the speakers, honourable Mkhoro, honourable and honourable.
Chair, I don't have many questions.
Ask. Taking what the chief director from the province has been saying, I'm only going to ask two questions. The first question is partly answered by her in her input. The question was structured in this way. As you say, accountability of bulk water supply and infrastructure provision rest with DWA. Now, what media are you using to communicate with municipalities? Are you using SMS, emails, or are you going to municipalities to discuss issues, advise, and plan with them? Or are they coming to you? Why I'm asking this question, Chair, is because some of the communication media that is being used is very, very weak, like SMS, like email. But I think the provincial or the national department of DWA, as a leading department, it would be, to my thinking, be advisable that the leading department goes to municipalities to sit with them, discuss issues, advise municipalities, and sit down and plan with them. Well, she did mention something like bilateral, which I'm quite aware of that, and I'm pleased if that is happening. I feel if you go to them now, you go to them, because you've got the global picture of the whole country in terms of water situation. You will come there having sort of, you know, having advices formulated, your approach to the whole thing. So you're advising municipalities. So I would like you to elaborate more on that, you know, and what are the outcomes of those bilaterals. The other question in the last one is the Scheme 4. The Scheme 4, which is preferred by for the cluster municipalities, I understand. What is the status of the Scheme 4 now, which has got so many variations? And I think the more variations, the more difficult it is to come to a decision. If you could reduce those variations and focus on a particular one, which in your mind, in your department, you think it is practicable, it is implementable, and it is, you know, sustainable, I would advise and suggest that you reduce the number of variations and concentrate on the one that you feel it would be beneficial for communities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
And I'm sorry, Amathole, I just want to mention that. I hear the lady there says, Amathole Water has been appointed as the implementing. We are very pleased to hear that. And we will go to Amathole, or we will ask them to come here to tell us their story.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jefferson. I was looking at the facial expression of the mayor and the chief director when she was speaking. It seems as if they don't know each other. There's a barrier in between. Definitely. I was just looking and say, oh, there's a problem. When can we, you know, from this end, we come up with a program of seeing these people, talking to them, then we'll be able to work nicely. in Hammond. Number two, Director General, I think those levels are having a problem with the technical people. I had the same problem also myself, but I used to chase them away. Why? Here's the problem. When you talk about something, this is a comment, my chairperson. When you come with the utterance as follows, you will need highly technical people and it's very expensive. And you come again, you know, this black water is very costly to clean this thing. You will never finish 5 minutes in my office talking like that. You know why? Let's say you are coming to a new director general, having just been appointed. I'm telling you, you are putting the whole cloud in his mind. He will never see you in any way until he finishes 5 years contract. Come with a proposal in the office. Don't talk about how difficult it is to get money. It is me as a director general to think and look after the money. Please, technical people, don't do that. It's pathetic. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Oh.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the department on your briefing there. My colleague, my youth member over here, refers you to as Dwa, but I know it is Dwaf. So, okay. It would appear that for this region, for this area, there are these two schemes. The one is local, which is based on affordability, and the other one is regional, more expensive. You know, sometimes the local option, I don't know what the growth rate is like in these smaller towns, how long that would cope, because ultimately maybe no water resources are very scarce. You might have to go for the more expensive. Have you waited up in 30 years' time, you might say, why didn't we go for the more expensive? It was cheaper at the price it was then. I know money is also a problem as well as water availability. Boreholes, I heard the gentleman over there, is it Mr. Berrington, referred to the licensing of boreholes, and he's talking about illegal boreholes. Do you have an idea of how many boreholes there are in the region, the various small towns that are tapping the water off there? There's supposed to be a lot of underground water in the Karoo. I think they refer them to as aquifers or somewhere. Sorry, I'm not an engineer. Have all those resources been looked at? I know there might be salinity problems where that would have to be counted, but has all that been taken into account? Then, of course, another big thing is infrastructure, aging infrastructure, particularly in my province where I come from. Up to some of the cities and towns, they lose up to 50% of their water because of aging infrastructure. So if you repair that, then immediately there's 50% more water. Also the recycling of water. A lot of people, you've got to convince them to drink recycled water. They don't like the idea at all, but it's an option that we might not have anymore in the future. And then I take it this Amatola water, this is a water board, is it, for the area? What are their finances like? Because I know my province, again, referring there, I don't know all that much about the Eastern Cape province. Vast amounts are owed to water boards who have really struggled to collect the money back, and then should probably, that's why you come back to the affordability of the water. Thank you, Chair.
Department? Another. You want to ask something? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'll ask the Chief Director of Regions to respond first, but I also bring to attention of the committee that prior to September, when she started in the Eastern Cape, she was responsible for licensing. Mm-hmm. So she's very familiar, up to date with that area of work. But if I can also just cover the general ones. in the, even the presence, the involvement, the question about the attendance and the bilaterals, she did touch on, she can expand. But I want to add and say, also present here is the Deputy Director General for Regions, her boss, and looking after all the provinces. Mm. And that for some programs, she would also get involved. And some I also do get involved, because if a reference is made, let's use an example. In the area of King Sabata Dalindyebo municipality, there's a presidential intervention program which looks after infrastructure, number, water, wastewater, roads, electrification, even the airport itself. And that is chaired by the Director General in the presidency. And I do attend those meetings, so does the Deputy Director General. But she gets involved in more than me. I just wanted to mention, fully knowing this, that continuous presence by her and her predecessors to interact closer. Let me just, and then let me also respond to the last one, specifically Amadola Waters' involvement. And also for the record of the committee, I used to be the chief executive of that particular water board before I started in the department. So some of these programs, issues have long been addressed, including the groundwater versus surface water issue. And they will give us both, Ms. Makanya and Lucas, the up-to-date one, even in these various options which the Honorable Member referred to. Sometimes they say too much choice is not good, it confuses, and I was discussing specifically this, that at some stage it must reach a conclusion. Mm-hmm. They will indicate where we are and what are the bottlenecks in reaching the decision for analysis that has been done for years. And let me just pause the chair and ask them to respond. Thank you.
Yes, first of all, about the time. Yes, please.
Okay. Andrew, you will take scheme 4, and I think the comment on technical approach to communicate our findings is noted, as well as you will talk to the local affordability, the local scheme, the groundwater, as it was raised as the last question. Just, Chair, to talk to the Port St. John's area that you talked about. We are not going alone. We're talking just here about regional park infrastructure. Not all areas would require regional park infrastructure. But number two, okay, there's MIG that is talking to that as well. There's also a fortunate part of the whole, many of the Eastern Cape municipalities, the 23 district municipalities that have been prioritized by the president for targeted intervention, surely will cover us in Port St. John's as well. And the interim water supply that the department is working on is targeting specifically those 23 districts. So there is positive indications there. The studies that I'm talking about currently, they are key funding to municipalities. They appoint service providers to conduct the studies on their behalf, and we're funding that process. And it should take less than 1 year. Sometime, but the major bottleneck has been the procurement process to procure the service providers to do this. This is an area where Water Affairs, because of that accountability and pressure, we really would want to take some of these procurement or, you know, to run this as Water Affairs. But because there's an expectation from municipalities that it's their infrastructure and they will own it at the end of the day, we're also looking at those memorandum of understanding that we signed with them. But it is an area that we need, that we already see flickering, for us to take charge and be accountable also in terms of procuring for this, because at the end of the day, in front of National Treasury, we must account for non-expenditure and lack of progress. And the issue of communicating, I think it has been covered. We go to municipalities. Bilaterals are held at municipal offices, and there are other forums where we together with MIG, we also having that engagement where VARC and MIG operational issues are being discussed. And the outcome of those and the impact to the RRU that we're talking about is one other issue, that because we dispatch these deployees where we see the need and where there is a crisis, so we do go on the ground. And yeah, Amatola Water, it's noted, they would come and talk, speak for themselves. And yes, as we are Dwa, not Dwarf, the forestry has gone to Duff. Thank you. Andrew, you can.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chair, just to try and be as quick as possible, we are criticized for the number of studies that we do, and the reason for that is the studies don't give easy answers. They're actually very difficult answers to make at the end of the study, and that's been one of our challenges. But I want to say that our financial resources are also a scarce resource that we need to be managing as effectively as possible. And that's the reason why sometimes the studies seem to happen and we don't have solutions being made at the end of that period. And maybe it needs to be escalated to a political arena to make the way forward. But just to come back, the question was asked also on the status of Scheme 4. Those schemes were only investigations. They were never, no decision has been taken to proceed with them. So if a decision gets taken, then we need to find the resources to sustain that development. Our department's policies that have been guided by our National Water Act, our Water Services Act, and our National Water Resource Strategy is to look at local resources first. They are often quicker to implement. They don't involve international decisions, which the Orange River does, because there's a number of international countries involved with it. So your EIA processes are quick. Your development can be quick. And all of our policies guide to look at local resources first. If we find that there is a challenge, we can then look at regional resources, because we need to look at all options. So I believe the way forward is to progress as fast as possible with local resources. If that is a challenge, then we've got the regional schemes to fall back on. The options, we've got good planners that have looked at it. I may not be a planner myself, but our planners have considered the viability of these options, and I'm quite sure if we say long-term it actually is cheaper, they would have looked at that as well. But the recommendations out of the studies have shown that we still need to look at local resources first. Aquifers in the Karoo, there are good aquifers there, but we haven't always tested the success of them. We do know that there is salt in the fairly brackish, but again, we can treat for that. If we use the surface water, we have to treat for the salt in the water. If we use the Karoo groundwater, we have to remove the salts. We must just accept that there must be treatment done, but it's different types of treatment that needs to be done with it. It is a challenge with aging infrastructure. There's such an expectation of all the local municipalities for us to meet that expectation. We just do not have the resources for the replacement of aging infrastructure. But we need to monitor it very effectively, because it's no use looking for new resources if you're wasting the existing resources. And that's the challenge of our policies and strategies as well. First, make sure you've stopped your leaks. You can delay implementing a new scheme by just managing the amount of water we've got effectively. I think that covers the aspect.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I'll need a guidance from you now. The time now is 12:30. We have got only some two items. Yes? You don't want me to finish? Okay. Honourable, you know what I'm going to say. Yes?
No, I don't know.
Yes. No. Get in, because what
I was saying, Chair,
there's a more pun. Yes?
I enjoyed this meeting, although I'm not satisfied. But I enjoyed it. If the chief would be in particular, can roll up the
sleeves and
do something with the municipality. I'm chief director.
He's a politician.
I'm sure the mayor will have a different facial expression next time when we bring them together.
Mm.
And talk to them that you know they must work together.
Mm.
I was going to suggest that because we're having a meeting now,
yeah.
2 o'clock,
yeah.
Mm.
And it's already happened.
Yeah.
How about oh, by the way, Mopane, can they just run?
No, they can run over.
Can they run? Which Mopane and what
else? How much in
about?
Like 10%,
not more than
15%. Within 15 minutes. Okay, that's like the
Mopane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then about the questions, they will respond in like.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair.
You want to go to are you flying or are you driving? Oh, if your time doesn't allow you, then you will release. Thank you very much. I think I'm going to say to you later. Thank you very much for the time.
On behalf of the Kamdebu Municipality, I want to thank the committee and even the department present that could listen to our presentation. And I think we will sit for just maybe 15 minutes and then we will leave. But I just want to say even what the municipality tried to, we already review our organogram to employ more people to assist us in this water issue. But thank you once again, and we're working. I don't know what was my expression, but the department, they visit the municipality. So they come to the municipality. We sit in meetings. So maybe it's just the presence of other people that my expression is not the way you want to have it. But thank you once again, and we need this assistance, and we want to hear what the outcome of this meeting. I used to say it's fine to have meetings, but the implementation is for me what I want. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Mopane.
Thank you, Chair.
Presentation.
Thank you very much. My presentation has three elements. It's the overview of the district, which is just one slide, and then we'll discuss the water resources in the area. Which is actually these are the current ongoing projects or planned projects, as well as those are being implemented. Then where we have the LIWAP, that's the Greater Letaba Water Augmentation Program, and then the Middle Letaba Dam, and also the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Grant. The overview of the province as it is on the board, we have Mopane district covering about 22,000 square kilometers with a population of over 1.2 million people. It's spread within the five local municipalities, which is Maruleng, Greater Giani, Greater Letaba, and Greater Tsanin and Bafalaburwa local municipalities. I think of importance to note is the fact that the area falls within the very low rainfall region of the country. It's actually below the average rainfall of the country. And but at the same time, we are prone to experiencing occasional floods and droughts over certain intervals. That leads us to the discussions about the water resources. The two projects that I've or two areas that I've mentioned, if we can just go to the next slide. The first one that I'll discuss is the Greater Letaba Water Augmentation Program. That includes the raising of the Tsanin Dam and the development of the Nwamitwa Dam and also the water services component, which is the emergency works to provide water from the runoff river currently by upgrading the Nwamitwa Regional Water Scheme to provide reliable water supply to the community. It's part of that major Great Letaba Water Augmentation Program. Then the raising of the Tsanin Dam, it's meant to improve water to the Tsanin area and the Tsanin town and the surrounding areas, both for agriculture and domestic utilization. And currently, environmental authorization has been issued, and there are still conditions that have to be met
And I think that alludes to the gaps that you will see as you proceed with the presentation. The RID, Record of Implementing Decision, that will indicate the jobs to be provided by this project as it will be implemented then. Then the estimated cost, as you can see on the board, is about 125 million rands for now, and that will be updated while the studies and also the design complete. I've indicated the scope and then the schedule that is subsequent to the remaining work that is still has to be done subsequent to the RID. Then the progress that has been made is that, as I indicated, there's still planning going on. So that has not been finalized. And, of course, that affects the water distribution to the local community. So this is a project that is in its, close to its final stages of planning and nearing implementation. But the importance of this is that once constructed, it will unlock the development in the area, both agricultural and to improve the domestic water supply. May I request that we go to the next slide, please? Then the second phase of the project is the development of the Mwamitwa Dam. And this is the major dam, proposed dam in the Greater Letaba River. And the purpose thereof is to improve on the ecological reserve domestic irrigation supply assurance. And again, this one, environmental authorization has been issued. It will be just certification because it's one project with the previous one. And what can I say in there? I think of importance to note, Chair, as I say, the same information with the previous one is similar here. Just the last point there, the connected issues. I indicated that currently, because of the acute shortage of water, the department decided jointly with Mopani District to implement the emergency water supply scheme or to upgrade the current water supply scheme from the run-off river currently, which will be integrated with the dam once the dam is completed. That should lead us to the next slide, Chair. And then that is the project that I've been talking about, the emergency works, just to get the water improved in the area. Okay. I'm being advised that it's a rehabilitation and not upgrading. The refurbishment of existing works, that is the description of the project, and completion of the new pipelines to restore regional bulk supply in the area. And then it's meant to benefit about close to 150,000 people in the area, and it is estimated that it will generate about 100 jobs. And the estimated cost is about 128, and currently we have 70 million rands available. And the project scope, I think that has got to do with the refurbishment of the Nkambako treatment plant and the repair of the pipelines and the construction of the reservoirs. I think there's also the improvement of the pump stations. It started in June this year. Actually, the actual construction started in June this year, and it's anticipated to complete at the end of this year again. Sorry. I see there we have two dates. The
refurbishment will finish in December this year.
Yes, and the project in its entirety.
Yes.
Yeah. Then the programs, I mean the progress and challenges as per the end of the previous month, the water treatment abstraction works that's being upgraded, and the minor upgrading work on the treatment plant are nearing completion, and then there's an abstraction point, the way at the river, that is postponed to the drier season because of the conditions around the river at the moment. Then the pipelines are actually ongoing. The material has been procured and all that. Then the way challenges, of course, where the community participation will address the issue of illegal connections in the area. May we please move on to the next slide?
Then, Chair, you'll excuse me, I seem to be rushing, but it's in the interest of time. The next one is about the water resources bill. This is about the Middle Letaba Dam. This dam was built in 1984, and it has a capacity of about 172 million cubic meters, and currently it stands at about 0.7%. This is actually almost empty. And I pointed to the area being prone to droughts and in that region. This is one of the effects of the drought. It started affecting this dam effectively so, or severely so, in 2008, and measures have been brought into place to mitigate this situation. This situation affects the four local municipalities. I mean, the four local municipalities in two district municipalities, Invembe and Mopani. And a plan has been put in place to address the situation. That just shows this year where we stand. If you look at September, you'll see that the sliding line, that the slanting line, the dotted one right before, below the 20 half mark. Right to September, you can see it's zeroing in. That is basically the current level of 0.7%, meaning that the dam is almost empty. If we can go to the next slide, please. This is the intervention plan with the 7 points in there. The water demand, actually the plan starts from water savings through to the augmentation infrastructure. Then the first one, it's the conservation demand management, water restrictions to agriculture. Currently, there's not even water for domestic use, so you can't talk agriculture now. But that's basically that, and then use of the dead water storage. That is the pumping of the water that remains below the outlet of the dam. Maximizing groundwater, the department has been assisting the municipality, and there's work ongoing now, and then to help in there. What I can mention, which is not in the presentation again, there is the comprehensive rural development project of the president, the Muyesha project. The department is also assisting in developing groundwater in that area through the development of boreholes. As part of item number three. Then the project number four that's being implemented by the municipality is nearing completion, just to get water from Nandoni through the Mapuwe treatment works. Then the number five project, that is part of the Nandoni system, it will be functional once the pipelines that are being developed or replaced at Nandoni system are completed. Then number five, the second line, that's the pipeline from Nandoni to Giani. It is being implemented by the municipality. I'll give much more details on that one as I proceed. Then number six, it's not on the cards yet, the Plain Letaba River water transfer. It is not feasible because it's a seasonal flow. Then number seven, it is actually going on, the determination of the future of the Middle Letaba hydrological studies. That is actually going on, but there are certain elements of it which are pending the verification and validation of upstream water use. Please, let's move to the next one. Chair, that takes us to the RBIC project, the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Project, in the area of Mopani District. I would like just to address the mistake that I made. The last project is supposed to be it's not supposed to be there. The totals that you have there don't include it. I was supposed to have put it separately below that. It's a feasibility study project. It's a planning project. So I'll deal with the first two and then that one later. The Giani Bulk Water Supply Drought Relief, that is the project that I said I'll get into. And that just shows the budgets that have been provided. The current budget is 52 million rands. I mean, sorry. It's 7 million rands in the current financial year from the department. And I'll indicate how it's funded. And then the second one is Mami Jaskororo project in the Maruleng area or municipality, which has a budget of 31.7 million rands in this current financial year. And the rest of the columns just shows you the funding in the outer years within the medium term. Then the last project, as I indicated, that right now we have the project of refurbishing the Mwamitwa Regional Water Scheme, using water from the runoff river. There is a long-term plan, that is the last one on the screen, that will help get water from the dam once the dam is built. So the initial emergency works is part of this huge program, the one with 644 million rand. And then it will be completed finalized after the emergency one and as the dam gets completed as well. So it's still at planning stages. Then the Giani drought relief project, the one drawing water from Nandoni to alleviate or to mitigate the drought situation in Giani. That's the construction of a pipeline from Nandoni Dam to Nsami treatment works in Giani. And it has already started, and the direct jobs created or to be created by the completion of the project, it's about 100, and it's meant to serve a population of about 300 people around the Giani area. This project was affected by a number of issues. I will indicate as I proceed. It started, the cost estimate is 247, and the budget, as you can see, there's 110 million rand from the municipality and the province. That's 90 plus 20 by the municipality and 90 by the province, and then 54 from our side, the 2010-11 years, and then and also in 11-12 from the department, we have 7 million rand. The project scope is to construct that 51-kilometer pipeline, and with the pump stations along the way, just to power the water, to pressure the water to reach Giani. The project was initiated in 10 November, implemented by Mopani District Municipality. It was stopped by litigation, which I'll allude to as we proceed, and then in November last year, and it resumed after the judgment to the litigation affecting Mopani District Municipality was concluded in September this year. The revised program with the completion date is 2013 December. Then the progress and challenges, you have some pipelines erected to a distance about 12 kilometers, and there's work that has to be done over again due to the quality constraints. And the connected issues in this, I've already alluded that this is an emergency intervention project to alleviate the water shortages in the area. Legal issues, that's the litigation that I indicated. The department is working hand in hand with the municipality to assist them to expedite the implementation and also to address the issues that emanated from the judgment. Then the actions, I think there are 4 points in the judgment. One of those is that the municipality should appoint an independent engineer. Maybe let me just indicate that the litigation was between the municipality and some of the unsuccessful bidders who complained and took the municipality to court. So the judgment indicated that the municipality should continue with the work in the interest of service delivery. And the municipality has already appointed, they appointed an independent engineer to investigate the status of the works before resumption. And the consultant was actually appointed, and the tender process, as I indicated, was declared illegal. And the municipal audit committee is actually working on that to address the irregularities that were raised by the judge. And the department is waiting for that outcomes of that committee. Then the second point or order of judgment, the municipality and the contractor were advised to honor the agreement. And the contractor has resumed work as per the judgment, and the work is continuing on an accelerated program. The contractor will cover the cost of remedial work, all the work that was seen to, was identified to have been substandard. And that has been identified and by the independent engineer, and the municipality will cover that. But the Department of Water says it's continuing to support and assist the municipality. We had one of our meetings just yesterday with the municipality as a follow-up. We had a number of them, but the final one before now was just yesterday. Chair, I'll go to the next project, which is in the Maruleng municipality. That is the Mamicha bulk water supply, Mamicha Skororo bulk water supply project. It is meant to supply water to the Skororo community. It is also implemented by the municipality as appointed by the department. is anticipated that this will provide jobs to about 50 people, and it benefits about a population of about 100,000 people. The estimated cost is about 214 million rands, and currently the budget, as I indicated earlier on, is almost close to 32 million rands. And then the project just started now in October 2012, after the completion of the planning and designs and all that, and then it is anticipated to be completed at the end of the next financial year in March 2014. This is the phase two, as you can see on the scope. The phase one was the construction of a pipeline which has been completed, and then phase two is the construction of a 15 megaliter water treatment plant and the command reservoir, and of course the associated pipelines that will be between the treatment plant and the reservoir. The progress, we had a bit of a delay in the procurement processes of the municipality, but currently that has been overcome. And then we don't have expenditure yet as the project has just started, but we are monitoring that closely, working hand in hand with the municipality to expedite implementation. Please, let's go to the next slide. We have noted some challenges, and I'm speaking under caution. I've listened carefully to the remarks that were given by the honorable members, that we shouldn't just pose problems, but we will also indicate the challenges and the solutions that are there where we do have solutions. Mm-hmm. Currently, we have most of the new schemes are above the 100 million rands threshold, as you noted on the list, and we still have an outstanding issue of schemes that could not be transferred over that amount, which could not be transferred to the municipalities because of their capacities to manage and operate that. So that is still pending. And it also puts a question mark as to the operations and maintenance of the new schemes. But we are looking at water boards. We have Lepelle in our area, Lepelle and Northern Water Board, which can operate on behalf of the department. So engagements are ongoing to do that while we are addressing that challenge. Skills and staff shortages to operate major projects, as I've just alluded to. This is a general challenge within the municipalities, but the department is assisting. Currently, we have, through what you had, the RRU, the Rapid Response Unit, we are assisting our municipalities, and we are also, through the RDIC project, the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Project, we have appointed graduate trainees, engineers and engineering technicians, who we have assigned to the various regional bulk projects, and then they are under the supervision of the consultants appointed by the municipalities in order to obtain their professional registration. Once they attain their professional registration, if it takes them 3 years, then they are stuck with us with the water sector in the province for 3 years. And then if it takes them 4 years, they will be working. That's how we are contracted to them. Immediately after professional registration, they will be working within the province for the water sector, either for the municipality that provided mentorship, and then or alternatively for the water board or for the department. So that is the kind of setup that we have in order to try and build skills in the area in addition to the support that we're providing currently. Then the operations of maintenance shortage funding within the municipalities, it's another challenge. That is why in the ESIP program, the Accelerated Community Infrastructure Program, is supporting with the refurbishment. Some of those schemes that are being refurbished failed because there was not adequate main operations and maintenance, and the department is assisting in that. There's also an issue of the equitable share in this scenario, where you find that most of the new schemes have the water charges will be more above the current 5 rand per kiloliter equitable share rate. And in that case, then, that poses a challenge because then it leaves a deficit. Say, for instance, the water comes in at about 15 rands or even 10 rands per kiloliter because of the expenses, the cost of the infrastructure and all that. Now, that is basically something that the municipalities have taken with the Department of Cooperative Governance, Department of Water Affairs, and I believe with National Treasury as well. But I'm not sure as to what is the status now. If you can proceed, please. Then we have recommended, and we keep on engaging with our municipalities and our sister departments as well to ensure. All right. Okay. All right. Thanks. that the water services functions and budgets will need to be ring-fenced, because if they are not ring-fenced, then you find a budget that's meant for water being utilized for something else, like your equitable share and then your MIG budgets. There's also the issue of the diminishing transfer budgets, which was on a sliding scale, and that money being taken to the equitable share. It's confusing to the municipalities. We keep on engaging with them just to make sure that they understand that they still have enough money, but then it's taken from the transfers to the equitable share. Then can we go to the last one, please? I think that's the very last one. And with that, I would like to thank you, Chair.
Sorry for that. Sorry. I think, honourable members, what is it going to happen, my decision is that the honourable members are going to ask, going to send the question to ASCA, and then ASCA will forward the questions to you. And then when you receive the questions, you must not take time. 2 days is enough, and bring back our questions. We want those questions. So what is it going to happen now? The honourable members will ask the questions in writing, and also you will respond in writing, because they don't have time. Yes, it's so interesting. There are so many things we want to clarify, but just because of the time. Honourable members, I don't want you to release the department, because I think now this is the last meeting of the year. I think now, I don't know whether I think I must give one of the honourable members to thank us all. I don't know, because we're supposed to have 2 items in the agenda. But according to the minutes, we don't have the quorum. According to the nominations, yes, I think the office, the staff will deal with that, with the nominations, because we don't have it. Yeah. No, they don't have it. Yes. Do we have honourable West? Do we have any nominations on the land bank?
Not that I know, but this thing.
Okay, so we don't have. So the staff will deal with the nomination. According to the minutes, we don't. We are not going to deal with the minutes, because we don't meet the quorum. I think I don't know, but I think I'll give one of the honourable members to thank us all. Yes, we're dealing with all the year. From January to now, I've been sharing this committee. I don't know whether I was taking this committee to the river or taking this committee to the right thing, or the department maybe will favor the department, I don't know. But I think, Honorable Makhubela, this is your time to thank us, because this is the last time that now we are leaving. Also thank the department, also thank everybody in the house. Those who are not also in, I think we'll send those messages to them.
Thank Chairperson, the Director General and your staff, including all the provinces. I would like to express our sincere gratitude from the committee members. I'm sure time and again you were attending. You are an exceptional Director General who attends this meeting. We had some certain instances where we sent people back to go and rectify. It was not the way we are doing, or a rude manner in order. No, it wasn't. The only thing we wanted, let's take for example this briefing from the Mopane now. I want to tell you, if you see this briefing, you go to the ground. It is what is happening, because we went on the oversight. Things are happening where we went. We'd like to thank you very, very much. Next year, we will be visiting those places. It will be an oversight on the ground, as we have agreed. So, so that we are tired about the reading an essay, a journey by train, whereas we don't know even the difference between train and the coach and the compartment is how we grow up ourselves, writing a composition in that manner. A journey by train, not seeing the train myself, or, you know, bacon and egg, not even tested the breakfast in bacon and egg. But we'd like to thank everybody, really, you are so wonderful. Our staff, you were so wonderful. I still remember one of the gentlemen who went to Miyeshe. he vomited because of the sun heat. I don't want to mention names, you know, but it is how we are. We go to the place, somebody was, you know, he was sick that time. We actually said it's very hot. Some are pointing the actual culprit. I didn't. Now, our whip. Thank you very much, Chairperson. You were so good. We work as one team. One cannot realize that we are different parties here. We don't do that. The issue of parties, we go to the campaign ground, is where you can see colors. But not here when we talk about service delivery. I wonder if I've left somebody. The PMG, where are you? PMG. Hey, did you write that, you know, I was excelling here? If you didn't, no, next day you won't come. So come and I don't know whether I left somebody.
No.
Candy Boer, I think you felt very much bad when we sent you back that time. That was not, you know, we wanted a political involvement as she came today here. You know, don't take it as if we didn't want to listen to you, no. I can talk and talk and talk. And then the issue of technical people, where you said, here, Jenkins, buy a deal. Like, how did that work?
Yeah.
No, we don't. Yeah. You check on the issue of necessity of a thing.
Mm.
That's a bit. Necessity is a plea in any case. There was a case, just one minute, a case of just when you appealed on a necessity. Some people were shipping in the river, and then the ship sank. Well, after that, it was only a floating plank hanging. Two people were clinching. They said, no, man. This wood will become heavy because of this one. He kicked his friend, and he died. He was charged for murder and pleaded necessity. And that plea was upheld. You know that thing, you know? Now, you go to the Director General with a problem. Don't say, hey, that's bad deal, you. No, we don't mention that. But thank you, we're just elaborating. Thank you. You must enjoy your Christmas. We'll be visiting. I'll be visiting Mutlene at home. You must bake me, you know, some chicken at home. I know it. But I don't know how to. Well, we're good opposition. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You want the presentation? Yeah, I'll do it once I get to the office. Now. Sure. And can you mail me, when am I going to get the question? End of the week. End of the week. Don't give me end of the week. You're giving us 2 days, and then you give me on the calendar, and then
public, you're making that.